You're listening to Catch the Current, the new podcast from Undercurrent News, your go-to resource for seafood business news, data, and pricing. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. The letter of the week is T for tariffs, Trump and Trudeau, as the 25% tariffs U.S. President Donald Trump has been threatening against Canada and Mexico went into effect this week. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau fired back, announcing Canada's own 25% retaliatory tariffs on the U.S.
A Trump tariff tongue twister, if you will. What does this mean for the seafood industry? Are these tariffs even going to be in place by the time this episode airs tomorrow? I don't know. And there aren't enough phone a friends in the world to answer that question, but we're going to try our best. We've dialed in members of Undercurrent News' team to help break it all down for us.
Jason Huffman, America's editor at Undercurrent News, is on the line with us now. Jason, let's talk numbers. What's at stake for the seafood industry with Trump's implementing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico? And can't believe we didn't mention this earlier, the additional 10% tariffs that Trump added onto China.
Well, I think we better check every minute because it keeps changing. But based on what we were looking at, and I've got to put on my accountant's visor for this. I know the U.S. seafood industry may not think so because of the pain these tariffs are going to cause, but the president's timing on these was pretty convenient for me. Because I just finished tallying up the U.S.'s 2024 import totals just before these tariffs were put into place. It's easy to pull together some numbers. Canada is both the U.S.'s biggest source of seafood and its biggest export market. It sent the U.S. 308,117 metric tons of seafood worth almost $4 billion in 2024. It took 160,041 metric tons of seafood worth about $1 billion the same year. China was the seventh largest seafood source for the U.S. and the U.S. the second largest export market. Mexico was the 10th largest seafood import source for the U.S. and the sixth largest export market last year. If you add up the 25% tariff on both Canada and Mexico alone, you're talking more than $1.1 billion in 1 year that importers will have to pay. And China's a lot more complicated, of course, because we've been tariffing them on seafood 25% on most items for years in relation to the earlier trade war that Trump started in 2018. And last year, importers paid about $200 million in tariffs on their goods. The two new 10% additional tariffs, which take us up to 45% on some items, that would add up to about another $300 million annually, as there are not yet any exemptions. I think you're going to ask me next, which seafood items are impacted the most, right?
You just read my mind. I was just going to ask.
Tell us. These are the areas where both people in the import business and consumers will hurt the most. From Canada, we import a lot of lobster, a lot of snow crab, and also Atlantic salmon, not to mention mussels, scallops, and numerous other items. A lot of lobster goes from the U.S. to Canada for processing and then back to the U.S. for sale to consumers. So try to do the math on that if it gets tariffed both ways, because Canada is going to impose tariffs too. And then from Mexico, we import a lot of shrimp and tuna. From China, the biggest hits are going to be, as before, on frozen tilapia, especially. But numerous other items too, like red swimming crab. I had an importer of red swimming crab say something to me the other day. He said, at 45%, I don't even know how we sell that product. So those are the items that will probably be hit the hardest.
I tell you, Lauren, how great is it to have a numbers guy like Jason on our team at a time like this?
Right. Jason Huffman's the numbers person to the people.
Thanks, Jason.
Gary Morrison, head of growth and strategy at Undercurrent, also reports on the lobster market. So Gary, can you shed some light on what these tariffs are doing to U.S. wholesale prices?
While it's a little too early to tell the long-term impact, there have been some immediate reactions in the U.S. wholesale market for lobster pricing. Over the last 3 weeks, lobster prices have been consolidating lower. There's not a lot of inventory at this time of year, but there were indications that the supply in the U.S. was more than initially thought as processors moved product across the border in advance of the earlier tariff threats that we saw. But after the new round of tariffs, prices this week stabilized, however, and now buyers, seeing if they need to hedge price risk by increasing orders. And if they do so, sellers would be more than confident in holding prices firm and even raising them again. But the real measure of any demand destruction for both lobster and I know crab that we talked about that a little bit before in the pod will be seen when the tariffs remain in place when the new season opens and consumer demand elasticity is really tested then.
Right. And I think the key there is if the tariffs remain in place, can change on a dime here.
Yeah, so
This
that's
is.
when we're really going to see how they have effect. Again, both lobster and crab inventories are virtually at real low levels. Crab, virtually non-existent. Lobster, initially real low until we get to the new season. So it's really that's when we'll measure the effect on the consumer if prices continue to rise.
Thanks, Gary. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was quick to respond to Trump's tariffs, telling the US president in a Tuesday press conference that Canadians are reasonable and we are polite, but we will not back down from a fight, which is a line that I will now be using when I put my kids to bed at night. I can be reasonable and I can be polite, but I will not back down from a fight. So let's toss this next question over to Undercurrents' Barb Dean Simmons. Barb, you've been talking to leaders in the Canadian lobster and snow crab industries. What's the reaction on that front?
Well, I guess the overall Canadian reaction is one of, I guess, consternation is probably the best word to use, some frustration. The big question for seafood producers in Canada and Atlantic Canada in particular is how the US market will react to what will amount to a 25% hike in the price of things like lobster and crab. Of course, this uncertainty comes at a time when the world's largest snow crab fishery is about to start in Newfoundland and a major spring summer lobster fishery, which produces most of our live lobster. It's just weeks away in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. So this week in Newfoundland and Labrador, the Harvesters Union, the Fish, Food and Allied Workers, and the Processors Group, the Association of Seafood Producers, they've started official negotiations just yesterday, actually, which was Wednesday, to determine a dock price. And they're having to go back to the system that they used in the past, which is a final offer selection. And the problem with that in this challenging time of tariffs is that that system would only allow either side to come back to the price setting panel once during the season to ask for a renegotiation. So with the uncertainty over tariffs and with what we've seen this week with decisions made, decisions tweaked, reversed, and some threats of more retaliatory tariffs, that's just an extra challenge for the negotiations and trying to determine a price that will hold for the whole season. One lobster industry leader told me last week that the last time Canadian lobster and crab faced this kind of challenge was in 2020 when the whole world shut down due to COVID. And in Newfoundland, our fisheries minister even was a little bit more dramatic. He said the current uncertainty over tariffs, for him, it feels like a step back to 1992 when Canada declared a moratorium and shut down this province's major fishery at the time, which was our cod fishery. And that was devastating for this province. So there's
Wow.
a lot of worry.
So what other markets might Canada turn to, though?
Well, China and the European Union are second and third in order of importance for Canadian seafood exports. And about a decade ago, Canada signed a trade agreement with the EU. It's the Canada-European Union Ec Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement, CETA for short. And some seafood companies from Atlantic Canada have built some strong relationships with buyers in the EU, in particular for cold water shrimp and for whitefish. And as an example, I know that Icewater Seafoods in Arnold's Cove, which we've been writing about quite a bit this week, they have a strong relationship with some of their customers in Europe. And lobster industry leaders also tell me that US tariffs against China in 2018 created an opportunity for Canadian producers of live lobster. And since then, Canadian live lobster exports to China have grown. And in 2024, for instance, China imported just over 18,000 tons of live lobster from Canada, which is half of what the US imported that same year. But lobster still depends on the US market, and the Canadian crab industry is entirely dependent on the US market, with over 95% of our crab production going to US wholesalers. So it's uncertain times for folks in the seafood industry here.
You can certainly say that again. Thanks, Barb. Jason, Barb, and Gary's full coverage on the tariffs this past week can be found on Undercurrent News. Links can be found in the show transcript. Now, this week in Where in the World is Undercurrent's team of reporters? Neil Ramsden, Dan Gibson, Tom Seaman, and Lewis Harkel were reporting live from the North Atlantic Seafood Forum in Bergen, Norway. And even there, the hot topic was Trump and his tariffs.
I mean, how could it not be? So, a Moe exec told forum attendees that the company will adapt to any kind of trade situation that exists. The exec said that the company has representation in all the main salmon markets and will find its way around. He added that the company will use those resources to maneuver whatever trade barriers in its meeting. So he said that instead of speculating what will be, MOE is preparing and will do whatever it can to mitigate problems.
UCN Editor-in-Chief Tom Seaman also spoke to CERMAC CEO Stephen Rafferty about the tariffs while at the North Atlantic Seafood Forum. Rafferty said that commentary revolving around Canada just exporting more to Asia as a result of the tariffs is, and I quote, not as simple as that. Rafferty explained that the size of the fish farmed in Canada is mainly for the processing industry in the U.S. The Asian market, on the other hand, demands the bigger sizes.
Rafferty also said that the U.S. importer has the power to say, we want a 25% discount, and that there will have to be some sort of trade-off. So with so many moving pieces in the seafood industry, staying informed is more important than ever. At Undercurrent News, our team works around the clock to provide you with the insights and resources you need to navigate the evolving seafood landscape. Our editorial staff has a pulse on breaking news around the world. Our global trade portal provides insights on seafood trade flows. Pricing platform, which now offers U.S. wholesale price assessments, provides clarity on market movements. And our specialized reports, like the newly released Seafood Titans 150, provides comprehensive information on the industry's biggest players. Whether you're looking for real-time market updates, in-depth data analysis, or exclusive insights from industry leaders, Undercurrent News has you covered. Subscribe today and gain access to the most comprehensive seafood intelligence available.
What can't the Undercurrent News team do?
Nothing.
What a week. And like I said, things are still in constant movement. As we speak, we're getting messages from the team. I mean, Mexico has a delay right now on its tariffs. There's talk about a delay possibly going on Canada, but Trudeau's also pushing on that. So, you know, I said, it's Undercurrent News is the place to be to watch that stuff. But let's lighten things up by talking about Trump's presidential address to Congress.
Oh, thank you. That's lightening things up.
It doesn't get any lighter than lavish fish monitoring. Just think, fish in five-star hotels with designer clothes and private chefs.
I can get on board with that, but what are you talking about?
So the latest fishy doge business, do you remember the shrimp on treadmills?
How could anyone forget about the shrimp on treadmills?
So for those that missed the water cooler talk the other week, Elon Musk and his team at Doge flagged millions in what they called wasteful government spending on research involving shrimp on treadmills, which everyone, including us, joked about. But in all seriousness, this type of research is used when looking at different climate and environmental impacts on marine life. Well, on Tuesday, Trump highlighted some of Doge's recent government spending red flags. And during his speech, he mentioned lavish fish monitoring.
So fish in five-star hotels with designer clothes and private chefs.
Exactly. So my first thought when I heard this was like, did I hear him right? Because that sounds weird. But I looked at all the published transcripts of his speech and it's right there. Lavish fish monitoring. Say that. That's the real tongue twister of this show today. Lavish fish monitoring. But I did some digging and Doge hasn't flagged any lavish fish monitoring, but they did flag some larval fish monitoring, which may not be as exciting as lavish fish monitoring, but it is pretty darn important. You can find this larval fish monitoring on Doge's wall of receipts. And before you ask, Lauren, yes, that's a real thing on Doge's website. It's not exactly clear what this contract the company was studying, but the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, has identified larval fish studies as an important component of fisheries management. For example, the agency said that its larval fish research in Alaska is necessary to address important data gaps related to basic life history information that can be applied to fishery scientists and ecosystem approaches to management. So Doge rescinded 3.5 million of that larval or lavish fish monitoring.
So if we started a two truths and a lie segment, I don't think I'd be able to pick these out as real things.
Which is what makes it so much fun to talk about. What a time to have a podcast right now. Lavish fish monitoring, shrimp on treadmills. I don't think there was anything else too ridiculous this week. Actually, I do have one more ridiculous story. And this actually is a true light in the mood one, I promise. A Washington State man was charged with posing as a captain to steal an $8 million fishing vessel.
I love that this is your light news.
It's so ridiculous. I'm like, what is happening? So we don't know the name of this bold chap, but they boarded an 80-foot long commercial fishing vessel called the Jamie Murray. They proceeded to wake the crew and rally them to get the vessel onto the Grays Harbor Bar. And it wasn't until they were out in the water and he started talking about meeting the Chinese mothership that the crew realized that maybe this guy was not the real captain. So
That's
obviously,
pretty scary.
yeah, they said it was like a newer crew. There's a lot of things that had to go wrong in this situation. But the other funny thing was that after this guy, after the police was called and this guy was detained,
Thankfully.
another commercial fishing vessel, the crew said that the guy boarded that vessel first and tried to
And they
rally
just let him
him.
go?
And they said they ran him off and they didn't think anything else of it. I guess they weren't expecting him to try again his luck on the next one,
Right.
but I guess it goes to show you if you have enough confidence, maybe you could do anything you put your mind to.
And that's what we are trying here.
Well, that's all the news I got for you this week. Have fun with Lauren and I in Boston at Seafood Expo North America. We'll be reporting live from the show floor with interviews, so subscribe to catch the current now so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.